From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
The Bill Show
with Randy
and Bill
and
Randy. Is that what it's fun to say? Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to show number 128.
It is 128, guys, and it has been a very, very
it's
active
September.
I know.
They fall forward, we fall back. It's spring here. Spring has sprung. The grass is risen.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder where the birdies is. And you guys up there, are falling. You know why they call it fall?
Why?
Because the leaves fall down.
That's right. They do.
They're so stupid.
What other podcast would comment on the stupidity of vegetation? That's right, The Bill Show.
No. It's just because I'm just such a deciduous guy.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not.
You see that guy over there?
He's deciduous.
I'm sorry. Okay, we're just getting off a little silly. Hey, folks, the election
is
still going on, and we're still commenting
somewhere?
On it. Yes, evidently.
Oh, okay.
There is an election, and we've had Donald Trump. We've had all sorts of great stuff coming on.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Don't tell me about that. I don't think it is true.
It is true. It is absolutely true.
All the stuff in the news about these people I've never heard of.
What?
Or making comments about things I care nothing about.
Yeah, that's what we do.
My imaginary friend's better than your imaginary friend.
Yes, yeah.
And you're going to go to imaginary hell.
You might.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For goodness sake.
But we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But of course, basically, the thing we're
wanting to... I thought you just invited me for lunch. What's this microphone doing?
It's a microphone that we're doing. We're doing a show. Don't be obstructive. Okay.
You said we got reviews.
We did. We get a few reviews for our website.
I never read reviews.
Why?
I don't pay attention to the critics because they always make me change my performance.
John Gilgood.
Yes.
I never read reviews.
What's my motivation? If you don't do it, you don't get paid.
we don't get paid, obviously, because
that's true,
you've been sitting for the last 2 minutes, 39 seconds listening to us bullshit. That's right.
Listen, that's what they come for. 128 shows of bullshit.
That's right. And we're just the guys that can do it.
Oh, God. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, really. And now, listen, I did bring some clips today.
Yeah.
And so did you.
Yeah.
We have this was absolutely hilarious because getting into the political realm, Andrea Mitchell. Do you know who Andrea Mitchell is?
Mitchell.
Yeah, host of Meet the Press and wife of the former head of the Reserve Bank. So I'd say kind of the 1% kind of person, decided that she was going to interview our Uncle Bernie,
Bernie Sanders.
We love our Uncle Bernie.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, have some theme music for Uncle Bernie later
on. Yeah, I'd be interested in that.
No, I'm not going to put it in now.
Is it like Havana Gila?
No, it's a theme. Alan Phil. Just think of Bernie.
The Internationale?
Yeah, it could be. Could be. That's communist. But we're going to talk about communism.
Yeah, we're socialists. We're actually socialists.
So Andrea Mitchell is doing this interview, and you can tell exactly where the right-wing media, how they want you to view this election. This is Andrea Mitchell trying to get Bernie to play ball the old-fashioned way and attack Hillary Clinton. Here's the cut. Have a listen to this.
Yeah.
Senator, welcome. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Good to see you. And let's talk about Iowa and the fact that you have cut the Clinton lead down to 7 points, arguably within the margin of error. You're just about tied with Hillary Clinton. To what do you attribute this narrowing of the gap? Is this related to the email controversy and the trust factor?
I don't think so, Andrea. And this is not just Iowa. This is New Hampshire. This is all across the country. And I think what's going on is that people understand that there's something fundamentally wrong in this country. When ordinary people are working longer hours for low wages, and almost all of the new income and new wealth being generated is going to the top 1%, where people cannot afford today to send their kids to college, where they're seeing their jobs and their factories disappear, going to China and other low-wage countries, where they're seeing a political campaign finance system dominated by billionaires who are buying elections. That is not what the American people believe that democracy is supposed to be about, where we are not addressing the global crisis of climate change, which the Pope and other people tell us is one of the great international issues that we've got to address. So there's a lot that's going on, and I think the American people want a government that represents all of us and not just Wall Street and a handful of very wealthy people.
Now, you have resisted attacking Hillary Clinton. Are you braced for the onslaught that could come your way from her?
Yes, we are. I don't know where it's going to come from. But, Andrew, when you take on the entire establishment, you take on Wall Street, when you take on the pharmaceutical industry, and by the way, we are going to be introducing legislation when I get back to Congress, which ends this outrage of the drug companies raising prices at a level that people with cancer cannot afford them while they're making huge profits. This is an issue that I know will be attacked by the drug companies. We're going to be attacked by corporate America. When you take on the establishment, you anticipate those attacks. We're waiting for them. We know they'll happen.
While you haven't criticized Hillary Clinton because of the email controversy, would you, as president, permit a cabinet secretary, someone in the National Security Cabinet, to use a private email system?
Let him talk about the issues.
Yeah, I mean, poor guy's got to rest his voice.
I want to talk about the issues.
Yes. Stop talking about emails.
What do you really think about Hillary? I'll pass her a note in class.
Yeah,
I bet you don't
what about
like
her hair? Do you like her hair? I don't like her hair.
No, I hate Hillary. You know, these guys don't want to talk about anything like rearranging the banking structures. Or none of the corporate
media. No, they
want
to talk. When you get into the White House, what kind of curtains do you think you'll have?
Yeah, that's right. That's the quality of questions you get.
You're
going to
get rid of the Mamie Eisenhower chintz or the Nancy Reagan settee?
And that is not a mistake. That is not as a mistake. The reason that she is shutting down him talking about issues like getting the money out of politics, like regulating the banks, like doing all those things, and the only thing she wants to do is play the game and do the show and distract people with chicken shit.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. I mean,
and he just wants to talk about what's really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she comes back three fucking times.
And says, what do you think of the emails?
What do you think of Hillary?
What do you think of Hillary? What happens when the big thing comes back at you? What happens when the big Hillary tsunami comes back at you? She almost sounds Australian.
Hillary hates you.
Yeah.
What do you think of her?
The old socialist Jew.
Yeah, you know, that's right. So what about it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm for a socialist Jew for president, damn it.
Okay.
So Bernie, is he for real? I was thinking that the other day. Is he for real? And this is the theme for our Bernie, is he for real? It is a theme, of course, for the Twilight Zone.
It is.
Hey, like that? Yeah? The Twilight Zone.
Oh, sorry. Oh, it's a post thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Thanks for giving away the magic of radio. Okay, polling trajectory shows Bernie Sanders winning the Democratic nomination.
Is he really? Already? And we're 107 days out even from the Iowa caucuses.
This is kind of stupid. But you know what?
You think?
Yeah, kind of. It is a Huffington Post poll. But I read it, and actually, Clinton should worry, and she should worry a lot. Let me read you a little bit of this. This is from the Huff Post. According to Huff Post pollster, which is the pollster end of
Huffington Post, yes.
Clinton's lead over Sanders among Democrats was an astounding 60.1%, a mere 4.9%. To a mere 4.9% March 2nd, 2016. By August 26th, 2015, Bernie Sanders surged all the way to 23.4% from 4.9%, while Clinton fell to 47.1%. Now, America should finally, and this is an opinion, obviously, America should finally start to notice the political revolution in the making, especially since most Americans still don't know much about Sanders, yet he still continues to rise in the polls.
Because they think he's Colonel Sanders. I told you, it's all about brand recognition.
Well,
they just hear
they
the
don't
name
think he's Colonel Sanders.
They say, well, we've got KFC, Trump casinos, and Bill Clinton.
No,
which
no.
do we go for? Oh, sorry.
No, but what, he goes on to make the point. He's saying, look, what's happening to Hillary is something very familiar. In fact, one of Hillary's staff, J.N. Zeltzer, was a pollster for the Iowa poll, and she said, and she was working for Hillary, she said, this feels like 2008 all over again. In this cycle, Sanders is attracting more first-time caucus goers than Clinton. He is dominating the youth vote. He's getting that base excited. He claims 43% of their vote compared to Clinton for only 31. Now, these are the new voters. He also leads by 23 percentage
points.
Probably
unregistered idiots.
No, they has been a push because part of Obama's thing was that he was registering young people to vote. Mm-hmm. Those people chose not to vote in the last election. But those people that registered in 2008, maintaining their registration right now, you have a much larger youth vote.
Okay.
He leads 23 points with under 45. And that's just not hippies. I mean, that's, you know, people. So he leads by 23 points by them and by 21% above among independent voters, including some Republicans.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not absolutely scared shitless about this, Hillary, you fucking well should have. And I remember there was an article recently that said that of all the candidates, like Hillary has Secret Service protection. I think that Sanders, the more he starts to win, Secret Service protection.
Yeah, he should. Don't they give it to them?
Because some of the reaction to him winning.
But he gets it just because he's a senator, isn't he?
No, he has no protection at all. He's walking around like that. And I'm saying, this guy's saying some rather revolutionary things.
Does he take the bus to rallies?
I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
I would. All I'm saying is that this is a guy who has the pitchforks and he's storming the castle. And he's getting an army together to do it. And he's doing this
and nobody's
in a very,
covering his ass.
And no one's looking after his physical health because he's 76. He's not young. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that I think he's saying some things that are very scary to a lot of people who have a lot of influence and access.
We're going
to
take a pop at him.
Yeah. That's why Colin Powell didn't run. Colin Powell didn't run for president because his wife said, you're going to get your head blown off because you're a black president. And Obama said, nah, hell, I'm going to do it. But if you look at the things that Bernie Sanders is pushing, a lot of people have a lot of reason to make sure that that kind of head of a movement like that doesn't take flight. And this is catching on. So I'm not being in a paranoid nutcase. I'm just saying, put some protection on him.
Be careful, Boynie.
Put some protection on him.
Be careful. Now, do you know that Truman and his wife took the train home to?
Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah, to Missouri.
Yeah.
After Eisenhower's were inaugurated, he had no Secret Service.
No Secret Service protection. But nowadays you have
home.
To.
Oh yeah. He also had no pension. All
I know.
Of that stuff came when Kennedy and Eisenhower.
That's
Kennedy,
true.
Yeah, when Kennedy gave it to him. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm very familiar with Harry S. Truman.
Yeah. S stood for.
Nothing.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I know.
Boom, boom.
The Des Moines Register states Bernie supporters aren't motivated by a dislike of Clinton, but rather by overwhelming support for policy. Most importantly, Sanders leads Clinton by 23 points with the under 45 crowd by 21 points among the independents, and nothing epitomizes the Bernie Sanders campaign better than the words, this feels like 2008 all over again.
And he's like becoming the Obama.
He's becoming
the
Obama.
Oh,
so
change happens, yeah.
Well, I'm not saying this is going to happen. And as we said before on the broadcast, and we're going to do a little thing about the two positions between Bernie and
Hillary.
And Hillary.
There are some differences.
And there are some big differences. But listen, I don't this email shit is just shit. This is one of the great things about the Clintons is that you supported them because of the dickheads on the other side.
Yeah.
This email shit is just shit. I really
think of course it is. So, Benghazi.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's right.
Does that say Koch Brothers blowjob on the running sheet?
That's our next story.
Did I let the cat out of the bag?
That's right. Okay, on the running sheet right now, of course, we have our themes for the next meeting of the Koch Brothers. And let's get their theme in here. Yeah, and that's our theme, as you can hear, the Imperial March from Star Wars, of course, for any story we do involving
the Koch Brothers.
The Koch.
I thought you were going to have things that go with Coke.
I will.
I like that. I think that's more
things go better with Coke.
That's more cheerful.
Four leading GOP presidential candidates. That's right. Jeb Bush.
Jeb.
Marco Rubio. Lucy. And Scott Walker are traveling to a Southern California luxury hotel to blow some guys.
Make some cases. Now, be serious. They're going to make their cases directly
to
the Koch Brothers and hundreds
of other
wealthy conservatives who plan on spending close to $1
billion
in the run-up to the election.
Yes. So
the gathering, which also will include...
Who will it include, Randall?
Your friend, Carly Fiorina.
Oh, God.
But not Senator Rand Paul.
I particularly like you, young lady.
Senator Rand
Paul.
Come
here.
I am your father, Carly.
No, it's Boba Fett. Mm. It's Boba Fett.
Oh,
and
no.
Carly Fiorina is Carrie Fisher.
Now.
Yeah, the second movie where he's like on the worm and then it's like she's in the slave costume. That's her.
Yeah. That was the third movie.
What happened to Carrie Fisher after that film?
She's in the new one.
But no, I'm looking at her now when she's in television.
No, she made stuff with her mother,
No, I'm talking looks-wise. I mean, Jesus Christ.
She got old. That was 1977.
I still
just
look
give
just
me a break.
Beautiful. Anyway, you were talking
you look
about
like
the Coke.
Shit.
You were talking about the
yeah,
Coke.
Yeah, so all these people are going there
yeah.
to suck Coke, and we're going to see who comes out. See, I thought Scott Walker was their anointed one.
Yeah, no, he swallows.
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry.
He spits or swallows. That's not cut. Just cut that. That's really terrible. I'll let you deploy the clown horn there. That's worth saying
play
that
the
word. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible.
The C-bomb, yeah. So I think it's really going to be a matter of, see who comes out not with the best poll,
yeah,
but with the best poll up their butt.
That's right.
With money attached.
Can we be more obscene about how
like
we think
pinata.
This is?
Well, I think it's really just really disgusting.
It's just the money. It's basically, this happened with Sheldon.
You guys have $1 billion to spend.
Yeah.
And we want you to spend it on us so we can buy TV
Spots. These three guys aren't dressing in suits and coming to see you.
Yeah.
There was a great Onion story the other day.
Oh, the Onion meaning
the
like...
The satirical newspaper.
That's a fake website.
It showed a picture of this woman who was obviously a middle-aged teacher. And said, Bernie Sanders in the pocket for middle-aged teacher that donates $5.
Well, as you'll find out later,
that's 80%
of his funds come from small
donations. Have you given yet?
Have I given to Bernie Sanders? No, because the U.S. dollars surged. And
I gave.
If I gave $5 to him, it's going to cost me $10. What did you get?
I gave.
You got Krusty the Clown doll. What were you pointing at?
I gave $10.
Yes, Krusty the Clown does look a little bit like Bernie Sanders.
He does.
And he probably dogs like
him. He's referring to the Krusty the Clown thing. He has ADD. So he can't really focus on conversations.
He was pointing at Krusty the Clown when he was saying, I've given to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I have a
Krusty the Clown figurine here on the table.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being at a hospital sometimes. Oh, look, cows.
Oh, why do you say that?
We start talking about politics and suddenly...
I beg your pardon.
If there's anything bright in the room, he gets distracted.
I beg your pardon. This isn't like that. What's that guy that just died? Awakenings.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's a pen.
A squirrel.
So, listen, I'm going to keep us on subject because what's the deal with the money is our next segment, ladies and gentlemen.
What's the deal with our money?
And, of course, that's the sound of ABBA singing Money,
Money.
ABBA? Yeah, ABBA. That's the theme. ABBA,
oh,
money,
bloody,
money,
you
money.
Bloody mass hats with your flat vowels.
I know.
ABBA.
This came out from Bloomberg this week. the theory that maybe everyone's, all these people are getting monies from the same people was reinforced today when Bloomberg revealed, when everybody reveals, of course, who's been giving them the money during the primaries, they have to do it to the FCC. So what they found out is just how small the world of money in politics is. Basically,
Clinton's, maybe it's the same amount of money and that they just pass it to each other under the table.
Yes, absolutely. Clinton's bundlers include some familiar faces. These are bundlers. Now,
What's a bundler, please?
I should tell you.
Connect the dots for me.
Yeah. Oh, look, squirrel. No, okay.
I thought it was a giraffe.
Bundlers are people who go out and ask for money, okay? Who are, their profession is to go out and fundraise for political candidates, right? Now, theoretically, if you stood for something, right, you would probably choose a bundler that dealt, you know, with only people who, you know, you approved of. Because, I mean, you know, it's that doesn't happen. Let me explain why. Clinton's bundlers included some familiar names. Jerry Crawford, an outside lobbyist, and guess where he works? Monsanto. Yeah, the guys that are poisoning the planet. Let's go further. They're
killing the bees.
And killing the bees. Tony Modesta, a mega lobbyist who co-founded the Modesta Group and is brother of Clinton's campaign chair, John, has bundled close to $75,000 so far. Now, we talked a little bit about the Clinton money on some previous broadcast, but the thing that is rather interesting about this, and this is just the way the game is played, and that's why Bernie's candidacy is so incredibly different, because he's not playing this game.
He's not at all.
At all.
It's the opposite.
At all. No PAC money, nothing. Okay.
Yeah, zero, zip.
That's
zilch.
It. So two Republican candidates, also former Florida Governor Jeb Bush and Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
Jeb!
Also filed disclosures to lobbyist bundlers, with Bush raising more than $228,000 from eight bundlers and Rubio more than $133,000 from three lobbyist bundlers. Now, the thing that's interesting is they're the same bundlers. The people that bundle for Clinton are the same people who bundle
for Bush and
for
Rubio.
Bush and Rubio.
But he takes pesos.
It doesn't matter anymore. The money comes from the same place.
I don't get it.
The Intercept, what I'm saying is that the company that actually raises money for Bill Clinton, for Hillary Clinton, also raises money for a diametrically opposed, evidently, person on the other side of politics, and gives money to both
of them. Isn't that called doubling down or
that's
splitting?
That's called actually having no principles about where you get your money from.
No, it's making sure that no matter which way it goes, you win. Yeah.
And if the same people are... That's right, absolutely.
Yeah. Isn't that what doubling down means?
That's what doubling down means. Now, The Intercept, which is a fantastic website, quoted this as, "Just how incestuous is the small world of big money in politics? Well, the leading Democrat candidate and at least three other Republican candidates are all relying on members of the same firm to help them raise presidential campaign cash. A place called the Aiken, Strauss, and Hauer and Feld Lobbying Group."
No, Aiken Gump, Strauss,
Aiken
Hauer.
Gump, sorry.
Yeah,
this
Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Run,
Bubba
run,
Gump.
Hillary, run.
Yes, right.
Bubba Gump Shrink.
I said to Hillary, have some money.
I got big gums. He's put some of my money
really
in a...
truly awful Forrest Gump impression simply because of
no,
Gump.
No, I was being Bubba Gump. Now, what about... No,
Bubba Gump Shrink. So anyway...
And what about... he put his money in a fruit company.
Yeah, he did. But don't get lost in the plot to Forrest Gump right now. I should never mention stuff like that. Egos. Listen to me.
I'm looking at the same running sheet.
Okay, fantastic. All I'm saying is that what's been revealed is that the money, more or less, is raised by the same people.
Yeah.
And it shows really, factually, that the two parties are being backed by the same lobby groups.
Which really...
At the same time. It doesn't matter.
Is it only trying to buy influence? Or is it trying to put your money on winning policies?
That's right, and that's
which
why,
is it? No, that was an either.
Well,
or.
I think it's the
it's
reason
trying
Bernie's
to buy influence.
The reason Bernie's winning so far as much as he is
without getting any of this money,
without doing it on the cheap, is policy.
Yeah,
he talks policy.
So what are these other
the
people
time.
Buying?
Well, the fact is that there's differences in the policies between the two candidates, and I think that very much reflects the difference in success that both Hillary and Bernie are having right now in the Democratic Party. Hey, you have this great thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What is the, you know, we often hear the perennial question, what is the difference between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton? Now, Bernie himself says, look, we've known each other for 25 years. We've been in the Senate for 25 years. I admire Hillary Clinton, all that sort of stuff.
You've made Bernie Sanders sound like Nixon.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
So, okay. Now, the New York Times found that looking at their voting record for the four
years.
Wait a minute,
I'm going to put some Jeopardy music here.
Oh, no.
There you go. That's our theme for differences in policy between Hillary and Bernie.
Now, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton actually voted in sync 93% of the time during the two sessions that they were in the Senate together.
Which is really good percentage,
yeah, it is.
You know.
But. Everybody said, well, of course, they're largely the same then. They largely came out of the same mold, you know. But.
Get to the point.
All right. But.
What did they
just... fact checkers went and looked at some actual differences...
Of opinion
and policy.
Right.
Between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Yeah. And here's how they go. On the authorization of the Iraq War, Bernie Sanders was opposed, but Hillary Clinton supported it.
Wow.
On Wall Street bailout, the TARP, Bernie Sanders was opposed, and guess what? Hillary Clinton supported it.
Oh, really?
The breaking up of the banks, the big banks. Bernie Sanders supports breaking them up. Hillary Clinton won't.
Nothing.
Okay. The Patriot Act of 2001. Make sure you got clean underwear on.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders was opposed. Hillary supported it.
Gee.
When they reauthorized it in 2006.
Yes. 2006. They reauthorized
it. Bernie Sanders
opposed it.
And Hillary Clinton
authorized it. You know, the thing that takes your privacy away.
Okay.
That thing.
Here's another one. Foreign U.S. military intervention, which they're very good at and do it a lot.
She likes it a lot.
Yeah. He opposes it. She likes it. Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP.
He opposes a corporate screw job to every worker in America.
And around the Pacific, including Australia.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So he opposes it, and she supports it.
That's unconscionable.
The death penalty. You know, when you do something really bad and then they kill you?
Yeah.
He opposes it and she supports
it. She supports it definitely.
Yeah. Keystone Pipeline.
Jesus Christ.
He opposes it. She supports it.
Mm-hmm.
Offshore oil drilling. He opposes it. She supports it.
And so does Obama, by the way.
Yeah.
He was running around this week talking all that great stuff about climate change and then he...
But his offshore is in Alaska, above the Arctic Circle. Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, douchebag.
Yeah. Beyond Mount McKinley. Oh, no, it's Denali. Okay.
Okay, that's all right. Keep going.
Okay. Now, the top 10 donors. Is there a pattern here? Top 10 for Bernie, 9 out of the top 10 are unions.
Yep.
For Hillary Clinton... 6 out of the top 10 are banks. Mm-hmm. Big banks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super PAC raised funds. Guess how much Bernie had? Zero.
Zero.
Not a cent.
Not a cent?
For Hillary Clinton, $20 million.
Jesus Christ.
Now,
So let me tell you, Bernie Sanders couldn't go to McDonald's
with what he raised
from PAC money.
No Big Mac from the Super PAC for Bernie.
Hillary could buy
a
set of McDonald's franchises.
Okay. The small donor contributions, which was what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders, $10.5 million.
Woo! That's you, teacher from New York.
With $5.
That's right.
And teacher from Melbourne, Australia.
Yes, that's right. I sent my stuff in.
Yeah. And Hillary got $8 million.
Oh.
So she still takes them. Here's one.
You know, I didn't actually send my stuff in from here. I asked my
father to do it for me. Not your father, your father. Isn't he your father?
Yeah, because we...
He lives in Massachusetts.
That's right. Ask not what you can do.
Ask your father.
Thank God Tom Brady's playing football this year. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. All right. Here's an interesting one. Donations donations under $200.
Yes.
Now, I think a lot of people can afford $200.
Yeah.
80% of Bernie Sanders' money comes from under $200
just
donations.
Just normal people, you know?
That's passing the hat.
Yeah, absolutely. And he doesn't owe anyone.
For Hillary Clinton, only 19% are small donations. Large contributions,
God.
he got $3 million. So he has had a few large ones.
Usually unions, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hillary, $38 million.
Fuck me, man. Yeah. She's bought
now, donations of $2,700, which is the maximum you're allowed to donate. Bernie Sanders got a whopping 1%.
Yeah.
Hillary has 62% of her donations are $2,700. Now, that must mean that like 10 people are writing out a bunch of these little checks.
I know, yeah.
Now, so, the personal net worth of Bernie Sanders, this is important, ladies and gentlemen, because this just shows how much money this bugger's got.
His tax return, what is $330, it?
$330,000. That's his net worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hers? $21.5 million. Yeah,
so now let's just clear something up. When these people sit there and talk to me and sit there and go, you know, I'll tell you something. I don't understand. They use this voice too. Yeah, I don't understand something, Bill. You know,
it's like that really dumb guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know. I say, look, Bill, I'll tell you something. Hillary's going to fight for me, the working man. Based on what? I'm sorry, I don't think she's evil. I think she's a very qualified. If I was looking at resumes, I'd have to consider her. But there's too much money from everywhere. She's bought and paid for.
Yeah.
They all are. They're all getting the money from the same place, dudes. The only person who isn't doing this is Bernie Sanders, a man who has had the same political opinions. You don't have to wonder whether
he
believes...
Since the Vietnam War. No, since before the Vietnam War.
You don't have to wonder what this guy believes. He'll tell you, and he will... You know,
he's the grandpa you really want.
Absolutely. He's Wilford Brimley, who isn't a fascist. And by the way, Brimley was.
Was Brimley a fascist?
Brimley was Brimley evidently was a racist. That's a friend of mine worked with.
And Will Geer from... your friends, the Waltons.
I love him.
He was one of the blacklist.
He was on the blacklist. Yeah, I know. I'm not a communist. I'm a socialist, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
have you or will you or ever have been?
A socialist?
Well, I'm just...
I used to... I'll tell you, back when I was raised, I
sound like you were like an ear of corn.
Yeah, I was raised in the backyard.
Fertilized in Beantown. Yeah.
And I grew up to be a Bostonian.
Yeah.
And I fuck you, NFL. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I am I alluding to that too much?
Yeah. I get up every morning and I iron my vowels flat and I use Fabulon.
That's right. All right. Hey, listen. There are people who are jogging to this podcast who just ripped off their headphones. I'm just saying, what the fuck is that shit?
They ran into a pole.
I know, yeah. And bang. All right, here we go. And Randy's laughing at you.
Oh, you made me laugh, Bill.
Yeah, I do. Hey, listen, you have a clip because Chris Christie...
You mean your doppelganger.
Yeah, Chris Christie, my doppelganger. I'm the good Christie. Chris Christie... The thug with no name.
Is that such a thing?
Yeah, there is.
You look like you're Tweedledum in that baseball outfit.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Man. Thanks, man. Yeah. Anyway, Chris Christie opened his pie hole, and he said he came up with a really good idea.
He's got a wedding cake hole.
He
opens it, and he can put all three tiers in there at once.
Yeah, and kill the baker in it. So Tobola, McTobola, the guy that killed the shit out of
Mr. 1%.
As Bill Maher said, this is a guy who beats the crap out of a lap band, who lectures other people about self-discipline.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm his fat. Band, I know I'm not self-disciplined.
Yeah, his lap band plays dueling banjos.
So, very much at his expense. Let's listen as Chris Christie opens his pie hole and tells you what he'd do getting rid of immigrants.
That's right.
Here's Chris Christie.
You're getting some blowback this weekend because you suggested that we should track foreigners who are in this country on visas and may overstay them the same way that FedEx tracks packages. And critics are saying people aren't packages.
No, they're not. But what my point was that this is once again a situation where the private sector laps us in the government with the use of technology. Let's use the same type of technology to make sure that 40% of the 11 million people here illegally don't overstay their visas. If FedEx can do it, why can't we use the same technology?
So are you going to be able to tell if somebody overstay? I mean, they don't have a number on their, you know, a label on their wrist.
No, we can do it, and we should bring in the folks from FedEx to use the technology to be able to do it.
We will stop people at the border, and if they do not have their papers, then we can electronically tag them so they can be traced
anywhere in the Reich! Mein Führer, I can walk!
Thank you, Dr. Strange.
You're welcome!
It's getting
You know they're going to remake Castaway now. Yeah. If everybody's wearing a FedEx tag,
that's right.
That'll be the ultimate product placement.
It's the ultimate product placement. And not only is Chris Christie thinking, hey, that's kind of Nazi. That'll work in the Republican Party. B, that's a chance for privatization.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
It'll work in New Jersey.
Hey, Chris, yeah, maybe a few contributions going your way from the old FedEx guys, huh?
Well, the Koch brothers' father was a Nazi, wasn't he?
Now, you can't just say that. Are you sure?
Well, I thought he was.
Oh, I don't know. That has one no sources
at all. One of our ministers.
We know they're assholes.
Erica Betts, his father was a Nazi.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't know, but these people don't know who Erica Betts is.
Well,
see, so read up. So anyway, that's an Australian politician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the ministers. Yeah.
Thanks for that. So
we're a multicultural. We've got our Nazis. Our Nazis are better than your Nazis.
Yeah. We're
going to say that.
Our Nazis.
Oh, Wernher von Braun. Yeah. The space race.
Our Nazis are better than your Nazis. Yes. Well, Chris, privatization and Nazi policy really does work in 2016. Yeah. Hey, did you know something?
Mr. 1%'s not going anywhere. He's going back to New Jersey.
Yeah, now, did you know something? Did you know something, Randy?
I knew something once.
Okay. All right. Did you know that Donald Trump supporters en masse... this is great. A story came through on the wire just the other day, and we kind of knew that it would be true, but here it is.
Have you ever wondered what the people who think that Donald Trump should be president think about other stuff? Here's a little insight based on a survey of 572 likely Republican voters conducted by Public Policy Polling, a Democratic polling firm. 61% of Trump's supporters think President Obama, who was born in the United States, was not born in the United States. 66% think President Obama, who is Christian, is Muslim. 63% want to amend the Constitution to eliminate birthright citizenship.
Yes, that's right. 61% of them think Obama is one heck of a little Muslim.
Yeah, it's not only that. They also think, 25% of them think, that Obama's responsible for the bad response to Cyclone Katrina.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of them think that angels are real.
So, yeah. And also a lot of them think that Denali is Kenyan for black power.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Is that what they think? The name of the mountain is a secret.
They think he named it. The fact that they've been trying to get it renamed Denali for
the
last
Mount McKinley thing. Yeah,
100 years.
Yeah,
100 years. I think a little bit before Obama was born.
Yes,
they've been trying to get it renamed for the traditional owner's name or the traditional land occupier's name.
Yeah, so they are. They're, you know, I mean, they think all sorts of crazy stuff. Donald Trump has actually been on a campaign, Randall, to put crazy stuff forward that they'll like. Which brings me to the next story.
About Donald Trump.
By Donald Trump, yes. We can't resist Donald Trump here on the show, especially when he said this. This is the headline. New York, New York. I will absolutely use nuclear weapons against ISIS. Let me read you a bit this. In response to a question regarding this policy on ISIS, Republican presidential candidate and billionaire and hair model Donald Trump told Meet the Press on Sunday that his commander-in-chief, he would authorize the use of nuclear weapons in the Mideast. He said, let's face it, these people are barbarians, they're also losers, and thanks to Obama's failed policy in Iraq, Syria, they're beheading Christians all over the world. Mr. Trump said... sorry, thank you, I'm working on it. Mr. Trump said
how could they be beheading Christians all over the world?
I don't know, I don't know. So Mr. Trump said he's already conferred with a number of high-level active military officials, actually just... doormen in his building who are wearing a uniform.
Yeah, who happened to used to be in the Navy.
High-level active military officials and has put together a comprehensive strategy to defeat the Islamic State within the first 100 days. And this is it. It starts... I'm sorry. It starts with the Islamic State within the first 100 days in office. It starts with the deployment of 4 or 5 of our Ohio-class nuclear submarines to the Persian Gulf, Trump said. And we're going to hit them. And then we're going to hit them hard. I'm talking about surgical strikes on these ISIS strongholds with nuclear missiles. Damn it. Fuck. It's like, I'm sitting there, Randy, I'm sitting there listening to this going, mein Führer, I can walk! You know, I mean, what the fuck? This guy is advocating the use of Trident nuclear missiles in the fucking Middle East in his first 100 days of office.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is that there aren't that many ISIS people there to...
God.
What a dork.
No, he's not a dork. He's a fucking dangerous buffoon. He's an insane maniac. Yeah. He's the worst fucking nightmare. He is the Frankenstein monster.
Now, what if he gets in?
And you're looking at this. You're waiting for Trump to phase out. And none of these money guys, that's why the money guys are talking to everybody, is because they're panicked. Trump... is the id of all this shit, this bottom of the Republican Party, you know, a real racist John Birch society, clannish shit. Yeah, and
let's do Arturo Uy again or any of those other sort of Hitler plays. You know,
it is. I tell you, Bertolt Brecht is fantastic German playwright. He did satires of Hitler, which, of course, meant that he left the country. But he did satires of Hitler pre-war and during the war. So
They were very much like what's going on right now.
Now,
You
go.
It's a bit highbrow, but Arturo Uy...
Yeah, we're a bunch
The rise and rise of Arturo Uy, whatever it was called by Inesco, was actually equated them with gangsters. And
yeah, it did.
He was Al Capone.
Yeah.
There was your Göring and all that sort of stuff.
Check it out, man. It's a great play. So anyway, yeah.
We're both actors.
We're both actors.
Drama teachers are married to drama teachers.
That's right, we are.
We eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff.
We do.
And poop
this
it.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And poop it. Hey, speaking of poop, I was watching an awards show the other day. And evidently, the bar for becoming a nominate or to announce for president is getting pretty low. This was off an awards show. I think you know what I'm going to say.
Talking about Ben Carson?
No. It's another black guy who really is one of the most annoying people. Not because he's black. He's just annoying. Ladies and gentlemen, the comical stylings of a stone Kanye West.
I've been conflicted, bro. I just wanted people to like me more. But f*** that, bro!
For Complex News, I'm Sean Evans, and during Sunday night's VMAs, Taylor Swift presented Kanye West with the Video Vanguard Award, MTV's version of a Lifetime Achievement nod. And while his acceptance speech got off to a rocky start, Kanye really nailed the dismount, somehow tying together 8 minutes worth of rambling half-thoughts into one hell of a finale.
Y'all might be thinking right now, I wonder, did he smoke something before he came out here? The answer is yes. I rolled up a little something. I knocked the edge off. I'm not gonna teach low self-esteem and hate to our kids. We're gonna teach our kids. That they can stand up for themselves. We're gonna teach our kids to believe in themselves. If my grandfather was here right now, he would not let me back down.
And then the mic drop.
And yes, as you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Yes, folks, it is Kanye West. Did you listen to that applause?
He's an idiot.
Yes,
and he marries a porn star. One of the is it one of Bruce Jenner's?
I don't know.
stepchildren, whatever it is. He's an idiot, and he calls his children names after direction.
Yeah, does he?
Well, Northwest.
Is one of his kids named Northwest?
Yeah, well, no, it's his name North. His last name is West.
Oh, my God. What a dickhead. Jesus Christ. Now, only in America could a drugged up dickhead get on stage. And this is going around Twitter. He has a following.
Yeah, he has a following.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Next, in 4 years from now, when we're doing this show, bacteria will run.
Yeah. Well, we've got a 50-year-old from Iowa.
Yeah, that's right. But
he's nuts.
Think about this.
He's running.
George Washington, Kanye West. I'm thinking the same thing.
Hey, listen.
Presidential material.
No, I don't think so.
Anyway. I don't know.
Well, hey, Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know.
Kanye West may have a little bit more credibility or nous than Donald Trump.
You know, I tell you something. We need to get either...
You have more credibility than Donald Trump. You should run.
Thank you very much. I want to say you're not a loser because myself, as a Bill Show person, think that you basically are for me
and
or
you
you're a loser.
Voices.
You know how fucking rich I am? You know I could have you
so
killed.
I've got so much money, yeah.
I would like to talk about that next story.
No, do Bill Clinton.
I'd like to talk to you a little bit about...
Get Monica in here again. Come on, Monica. Come on in here.
Don't do the Monica. Okay.
Oh, I'll smoke that one later.
Yeah, Scott Walker. This is the story we're going to end on in this segment, which has gone on forever because there's just so much. Scott,
we just got diarrhea of the mouth.
That's true. And heavy edits are coming.
Please don't. Not again. Yeah. You cut out some of my best stuff last week.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
It's gone.
Oh, look, squirrel. Okay, Scott Walker wants to build a fence.
You can't discriminate against me if I'm disabled, you know?
What? Did you have...
Tripolar.
You're tripolar.
Yeah.
But he's very nice. You'd like him. Girls? Now, wait a minute. You're married.
I'm also 62.
I'm also 62,
yeah.
And I'm sicker than you are.
No, I'm not sick.
I'm not sick.
I just want to do some funny voices.
That's all right. Listen, Scott Walker was to build a wall.
The second wall.
This is a second wall. Evidently, the wall in Mexico isn't good enough. So this is a clip where Scott Walker is asked, hey, why not build a wall? Around Canada.
The 49th parallel.
So this is what the presidential candidate
why. Why?
Said on Meet the Press. This is Scott
Walker. Is he
trying
to keep Americans in?
Yes, here it is.
Why are we always talking about the southern border and building a fence there? We don't talk about a northern border. If this is about securing the border from potentially terrorists coming over.
Well,
do you want to build a wall north of the border?
Some people have asked us about that in New Hampshire. They've raised some very legitimate concerns, including some law enforcement folks that brought that up to me at one of our town hall meetings about a week and a half ago. So that is a legitimate issue for us to look at.
That is a legitimate issue.
I don't think so.
It is a legitimate issue. Those Canadians.
I don't get it. Is he trying to keep Americans in? Is this to keep terrorists out? Have there ever been any terrorists have come over the border from Canada?
Well, with the amount of Americans who are actually going overseas to get drugs because the medical system in America still is shit, it might be just to keep people in. But I think Scott Walker wanting to build a wall against Canada means that basically now Canada is persona non grata in America, damn it.
What is that going to do with Ted Cruz?
I'll tell you something, Randy. Randy?
Yeah, what happens?
I blame Canada.
What happens to Ted Cruz?
Well, he's Canadian. He's out.
He is. Is he?
I don't know.
His mother was a Canadian citizen when
he was
born.
Well, then he's out, man. He's out. That's
in
it.
Canada.
You know what I'm going to do?
He's not out yet.
I'm going to put a FedEx tag on his ass.
But the point is Ted Cruz should not even be in the Senate.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like our prime minister who's still a dual national.
But anyway, listen, this is this is the song that we got.
Yeah, this is for Scott Walker. This is our dedication to you, Scotty.
And we'll be back in a moment with Randy's rant.
Randy's rant!
We must stop dirty language from getting to our children's ears. We must go fight the source of it. But what is the source?
Oh, that's easy.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fight and curse.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
For the beady little eyes and flapping heads so full of lies.
Blame Canada.
Had my picture on his shelf, but now when I see him, he tells me to fuck myself.
Well, blame Canada,
blame Canada.
It seems that everything's gone wrong since.
We're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, rich and true. Instead, he burned up like a piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches?
Should we blame the fire?
Or the doctors who allowed it to expire?
John Murray, too.
Time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle, because now it's time for Randy's Rant.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ships at sea.
Okay, go.
We are in the middle, or in the beginning, the first few years of a 100 years war.
Right.
Like the English have with the French, which actually lasted 112 years. But we're in the beginning of a 100 years war, the war on Christianity. Now, we've actually had a few shows on the war on Christianity on the Bill Show.
Yeah.
But now they've got a poster girl.
Oh, my God.
Their own Joan of Arc. St. Kim of
Calcutta. If Joan of Arc looked like Kathy Bates.
Yeah. That's right. We've got St. Kim of KY.
Yep.
Kim Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The right-wing nut job's own Joan of Arc, Clerk Kim Davis, has been jailed.
Jailed, I tell you!
For refusing to issue marriage licenses for gay couples.
For not following the law.
In Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, because of her religious beliefs, mm-hmm. she is not carrying out her actually elected job in the state of Kentucky. Now, the point is like...
Randy, she's got a point.
Well, does she? A point on the top of her head.
I don't know. Okay. She actually doesn't.
Maybe she's hearing voices like Joan of Arc. Okay,
and
her voices are telling her to do this.
Honey, now, they had slavery in the Bible. Yeah. You had to give up on that one, too. I'm sorry.
You had to marry your sister's... You had to wear your brother's wife.
That's right.
You died. She's gained headlines around the world for refusing to issue these licenses to gays. Mm. Now, the woman looks like a hat full of assholes.
Don't attack.
No, I will, because you said Kathy Bates.
Yeah, because I think Kathy Bates is a very attractive woman.
No,
and I was saying that reference to the fact that she's scary.
You met in Misery where she was
We
like,
have a lot of people out there
she
who
was a
feminist.
Leg breaker.
I'm sorry,
okay,
no,
she looks like a hat full of assholes. Two hats full of assholes. I'll be a bit more generous, okay? She says she wants to preserve the sanctity of marriage. Now, she has been married.
Yeah.
While she was married to husband number one.
Yes.
She fathered twins with another man.
Whoopsie.
Husband number three, who she wasn't married
to. Are you kidding me?
Then she divorced.
No, slow down.
Then, hang on. I'll connect the dots later.
Because I don't know.
Then she divorced husband number one.
Yeah.
Married husband number two, who adopted the kids fathered by husband number three.
She's talking about the sanctity of marriage?
Then she divorced husband number two, who had adopted her kids and now had joint custody. Married husband number three, who was the father of her twins. Then she divorced him and remarried husband number two.
Does she have any kids with him?
I don't know. I don't think so. I hope
not. Thank God.
Not. I hope not. So, now the final... Now, this woman is...
There's a DNA strain you really want to nurture.
You really want to... You already want to get the gene shears in there and IS her ass. Okay, now...
Mama's over there next to the car.
Now, she is an elected official, like a sheriff. She cannot be fired.
No.
She's the county clerk of this county in KY. Okay, she can only be impeached.
A rather unfortunate name for the county.
Yeah, didn't you like St. Kim
just saying that.
Didn't you like St. Kim of KY?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Very good. That's the thrust of our show.
Now, she can only be jailed for not carrying out her elected duties. Mm-hmm. So she can only be impeached. So this is actually a bit of a hard thing. Now, everybody, Ted Cruz. They've all come out in favor of this nut job.
Of course they have.
And of course, immediately she hears the ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching that the Indiana pizza people heard and Oregon bakers. And guess what? GoFundMe has said, we will no longer allow people to raise money for these political nut job issues. So just before she's able to catch the golden ring on the merry-go-round of life and religious freedom, she gets locked out.
By the way, the guys who did the pizza parlor thing, you remember that pizza parlor thing? We reported on it.
Yeah, and the organ bakers, yeah.
They got a whole lot of money. And they said they were going to not keep it.
They were going to give it to other people.
But then they
decided not to.
Well, we've already found a secret memo coming out of the Justice Department. They're now going to go after 12 new perversions, things like bestiality, polygamy, having sex with little boys and making that legal. And not only that, but they have a whole list of strategies to go after the churches, the pastors, and any businesses that tries to assert their religious liberty.
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Feirstein here, and the Christian Holocaust has officially begun in America. I hate to say I told you so, but in fact, I did. You know, Kim Davis, the county clerk who refuses to sign off on gay marriage because she feels it violates her Christian principles, who refuses to endorse it, back it, or support it, is now being thrown in jail. Just recently, only moments ago, was ordered by a judge to jail for not supporting or signing off on gay marriage. Where is her First Amendment right? I told you a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen, that the LGBT community has one agenda, and that is to come after Christians. That has been the agenda all along. They want to put the clamp on Christianity in America, and you either back them and support them, or you're going to jail. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the time has come, and I'm sounding the clarion call. It is time for us to rise up and begin a revolution.
And this clerk who says, I don't think I ought to sanctify a homosexual marriage, chances are she will either be heavily fined or she will go to jail. And that's just the warm-up and the battle against this particular thing. And God Almighty is looking down on this nation. And folks, I want to tell you, our finances right now are hanging by a thread. The rupture of the entire financial framework of our world is so tenuous right now. And if there was ever a time that we need the grace of God, it is now. And unless something is done to change the courts and to change the way this country's going, it's just a question of time before the fabric ruptures, and we'll all suffer because of it.
Mom, Uncle Pat's in his jammies, and he's annoying the mailman again.
Yeah, he's playing with me.
He walked out into the street.
St. Kim of KY has just taken the thunder, but not the money, from just about everybody else. Let me have a listen to some of these responses.
Yeah.
From Dr. Ben Carson,
the
brain surgeon who practiced a little bit too much on himself. As president, I would order Kim Davis released and
praise the Lord,
and personally see to it that Air Force One flies her to Washington, where she would receive the Medal of Honor. She and her family would be welcome guests at the White House. Which of the four families, I'll never know. Okay, here's another one. Mike Huckabee. My heart Huckabee. In many ways, Kim Davis reminds me of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Another Christian willing to go to jail in order to defend the civil rights
of an
oppressed people.
I have a dream that I will receive a whole lot of cash from internet people.
Michelle Corndog Buckman.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Christians thrown in jail for not bowing down to the gay lobby.
Yeah.
Obama needs to be removed from office immediately.
Yeah.
He's the one who belongs in jail. The mere fact that
they interviewed her at a Dairy Queen.
And your friend, the half-governor of Alaska.
Yeah.
The lamestream media laughed when I said liberals want to outlaw Christianity and to start jailing us.
No, they were laughing at you.
It's already started in Kentucky, jailing people for their beliefs. Who's laughing now?
That was Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
He was a big guy. Yeah. If you ever want to talk like Sarah, just watch Hunter, Fargo.
Anyway, so there she goes. So thank you, ladies. And now we've got a little song to lead us out. This is a hymn for our times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And here it is.
A hymn for our times on Randy's Rant. Here it is.
To all my queens and lesbians, have no fear. And all of you hating homophobes, listen here. So concerned with who we're marrying, to people in love is not a sin. Some of us are gay, get over it. Here's to stay, won't go away. Yes, the gays are here.
So you wanna outlaw homosexuals?
If you can,
are you gonna come down and arrest or fall?
Down in Russia, Russia's sure to care of this. New gay laws, what a crowd pushes. Vladimir Putin, get a grip. Here to stay, won't go away. Yes, the gays are here.
And that was Gays Are Here, a hymn for our times from the UK.
That was just a local choir.
Well, a bunch of actors and
yeah.
It's very clever.
Few stiff
have a,
notes,
have yeah. a look at have a look at it on YouTube. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Actually, I'll put it up on our website. How's that?
Absolutely.
On,
do so.
www.thebillshow.net.
Thebillshow.net. That's right. Thebillshow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place.
Okay.
But you know what I'd like to say is, issues like this, though we're commenting on them, they're distraction.
Yeah.
They're total distraction. This is why
from what's really going on, yeah.
Well, the Republicans are so very eager to pick up this issue because, as Bernie says, they're into dividing people and not talking about, you know, money out of politics or...
If you're talking about guns, if you're talking about gay marriage...
Absolutely.
If you're talking about the Confederate flag...
It's bullshit.
If you're talking about all of those... If you're talking about Kim Davis, then you're not talking about the things that matter.
That's right. And they have to keep the base absolutely satisfied with more red meat. And this Kim Davis thing is just that. It's just red meat.
It's a weapon of mass destruction. Yeah.
Absolutely. So...
Good.
But anyway, now... we're going to take a break, and we usually do a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, but we've got a couple of things now to catch up with. We're going to catch up with D's Nuts.
Yes, we are. Actually, let's do that now.
Yeah, let's do that as part of our break.
Okay, as part of our break, we're going to catch up with we mentioned a thing called D's Nuts, and he pulled
9% in North Carolina.
He pulled 9%. Actually, D's Nuts is a 14-year-old kid. Is it 14?
15.
15-year-old.
Guess where? Iowa.
In Iowa. That's right. So 19%, or was it
9%? No, 9%. He pulled 9% in a North Carolina poll. He came third. So he really, by rights, should go on one of the debating things. But he's 20 years short of the constitutional limit for running for president.
He registered the name D's Nuts and 9% favor him in a North Carolina poll.
Yeah. So, but his policies were good.
His policies are amazing. Yeah. This is our 14-year-old kid. Randy tracked down an interview with him. Before that, I'm going to actually play again the Bill Show commercial. Bill Show commercial. D's Nuts, you are free to use this in any advertising. We'll be right back with a special commentary before we wrap up Show 128.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Every now and then, America has to find someone to lead. Today, America needs nuts. These nuts. We talked to some of the people who were fond of these nuts.
I'll tell you, when I was president, I loved working with these nuts. I really mean that, too. Hi, honey.
I wish when I was governor of California that I had these nuts. I did not have these nuts. That's why I sucked at the job.
Hello, America. And if I was alive today, I'd be working with these nuts. Coming, Mommy.
This is the year when America needs to get nuts. These nuts.
My name's These Nuts. And I approve this announcement.
It's been just over 1 week since a Northwest Iowa teen made national headlines. Well, in a rare on-camera interview, the 15-year-old independent presidential candidate and internet sensation sat down one-on-one with our very own KTIV Sam Curtis. And Sam, this wasn't an easy interview to secure.
No, Robert, it wasn't. You know, he's done a lot of email interviews, but he hasn't done very many on-camera interviews, and that's partly because 15-year-old Brady Olson admits he didn't expect when he filed paperwork on July 26th to run for president that it'd make national headlines. Olson, he wasn't the most eager to sit down and talk about his campaign. One reason's because he's a little shy, and with his sophomore year of high school just starting, he doesn't want this to be a distraction. But it's hard for it not to be with the numbers one polling agency revealed in support of D's Nuts 2016.
Started out as a joke.
A joke that 15-year-old Brady Olson may never forget.
It got a little attention like when I filed like a month ago, but nothing like this.
Olson inadvertently ignited a social media firestorm August 19th, though it wasn't his name that was trending, but rather his pseudonym, D's Nuts, based on this popular internet video.
Because some came in the mail today. D's Nuts. Got him!
It caught many people off guard when public policy polling revealed he had 9% support in North Carolina's presidential primary.
Hopefully paved the way for like more than just a two-party system, because Canada, they had a debate for their prime minister elections, and they used a four-party debate.
Shortly after that, the internet saw an onslaught of memes like this one poking fun at the news.
Ask not what
these nuts
can do for you. Ask what you can do for
these nuts.
At the same time, his parents' voicemail and emails were flooded with interview requests.
Well, I had to talk with Brady to see what the heck he had going on.
The independent candidate from Wallingford, Iowa, brought national attention to a city of roughly 200 people.
And it wasn't for anything real bad, so that's good.
Joke or not, D's Nuts takes his campaign seriously. He set up a website listing many of his stances on large issues.
Voting rights in the territories, which is a big one for me.
His view on illegal immigration isn't as extreme as building a proposed wall.
That at least makes something so that it makes it harder, at least, or at least reinforce the ones we already have.
His dad describes him as an encyclopedia when it comes to politics. Inside D's Nuts room, you can see public affairs isn't his only passion.
Basketball, golf, and baseball teams.
A pitcher for his junior varsity baseball team at Grettinger Terrell Ruthven Ayrshire High School, he's already laid out his goals for 2016, though one of them won't involve a move to the White House, since Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution states you must be at least 35 years old to be president. D's Nuts has 20 years to prepare for that.
Still undecided on that one, but the door's always open.
Yes, the door's always a hope.
Yeah, it's that little fuck. Except when something's getting up to bad things. Yes. Yeah,
hopefully
he's a farm boy. He doesn't have to do that.
Hopefully we're not when you're masturbating.
No, stop it. He's a farm boy.
What are you doing in there? I'm working on my campaign, Dad. And I'm going blind.
God, you're disgusting. Poor little 15-year-old. But I'll bet you gets laid now.
Oh, God, you would hope so.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man.
That'll be
I've
a
seen,
shot heard around the world.
If Trump can get laid, D's Nuts, you got a chance.
Oh, I did it with the cat. They all want to be Monica. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what, we'll get you, I'll introduce you to Monica.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Monica, she can smoke that later. Oh, you don't smoke yet. You don't want to smoke.
Yeah. I think he's another Bill Clinton if he gets elected. If he gets elected, this kid's going to be doing the Washington circuit, if you know what I mean.
For the next 20 years.
She's like, just imagine, like,
puking. Oh, please, Billy, just stop it. We're about to go into a really dark place.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just
like... And you should not do that.
Okay. Well,
this is hard for me this next
week. We do have to stop the comedy, because actually something that...
happened on Tuesday. So 3 days ago.
We saw this, because we were going to do, you know, the normal thing, crazy people.
No, tinfoil hats, things that drive us crazy.
And that's three quarters of the show, really, so far today. But we saw this
picture.
We
couldn't let it go, yeah.
Of this kid.
Well, it haunted me.
Oh, man, that was, I don't know if you saw the picture, of course, picture came out.
Can anybody in the world have not seen that picture?
Of the small child.
Little Alya on the beach in Turkey.
Yeah, the Syrian child on the beach in Turkey. We are in the midst
He's 3 years old.
Oh, my God. You know, and they're getting, you know, they're literally screaming for help. They've been turned away and hungry.
Yeah.
Well, good on you, Hungary, but I can't say anything
because
I'm from Australia, who's chock full of dicks, quite frankly.
Yeah, and we put ours out of sight, out of mind, in POW camps, concentration camps.
And we're not talking Hogan's Heroes kind. No.
In other countries. Anyway, the reason I wanted to bring this up. This little picture of Alya on the beach. And the Turkish policeman carrying him so gently, even after he was dead. But the thing is America is very insular, and it takes something it takes something of this magnitude to get them to realize that there are things happening in the rest of the world. So, yes, this is an issue in Australia. We've got room to spare. Yeah. I mean, literally, and we since 1788, we've been taking the world's great unwanted, certainly since 1788, because the Americans were revolting. The British decided to send the convicts here.
Yeah.
And we've had waves and waves and waves and waves of immigration.
Yeah.
We've had, we've had the Irish, the Dutch. All of those people have come here because we started a new life. Well, it's a refuge.
You and I, we won the lottery. Because we were Americans born in America, and we're white.
Yeah.
You know, if you're white and you're from the first world, you win the friggin' lottery. And I've told this to kids before. I sit there and go, you have no business.
Oh, you got to. You have why no, did you leave America? Why weren't you leaving in America?
You have no business complaining. Mm. I really am sick to death of listening to people complain about their shit. Because... Yeah, really. I mean, seriously, we complain about horse shit. I have a good cable. You know, I can't get coverage
little
here.
First world problems.
You know, it's like fucking hell, you know? And then
here's a 3-year-old who drowns and washes ashore.
Oh, my God.
And this is like that picture from Vietnam of the girl from the napalm bombing whose clothes have been burnt from her body. And that picture...
Galvanized.
Well, I saw it in 1970, and that stayed with me forever. And that if any one picture was to... help end the Vietnam War, it might have been that.
But governments won't act. Mm. And, you know, this can never be said more true of than the New York Times article that came out this week about Australia, the place where we call home now, and their absolute brutal treatment assessment of refugees. Yeah. So this is, look, we spend a lot of time criticizing America. I'm doing a special little moment, both Randy and I, because this is off the Trues, off of a wonderful guy who, you know who I'm talking about, is, well, you listen to him, and this is about what Australia has done to its immigrant population. So hold on. Here it is.
In the last few years, mind you.
You'll recognize his voice. Here it is.
Hello, welcome to The Trues. As the Australia immigration crisis continues, with thousands of people being kept in what it would be easy to describe as concentration camps, PM of Australia, Tony Abbott, grapples with some complex emotional issues.
Do you feel any guilt?
None whatsoever, Neil.
The main story is that the Human Rights Commission have called for all children to be released from detention centres on Nauru. Don't you sometimes wonder if something's gone fundamentally wrong with the planet when you read the sentence, called for all children to be released from detention centres?
In recent years, thousands of child asylum seekers have arrived in Australia by boat, many unaccompanied.
Like that stuff that's used in films, like evil cartoons or Dickens. All the children have been taken away to Donkey Island and they're turning into monsters. What is that, Pinocchio? No, that's Australia.
More than 700 are locked up, many in camps on remote Pacific islands.
We talked about this before. The people of Manus Island, the detainees, got together and wrote us this letter. Made me feel good about myself for a while. This woman, Kitty Thatcher, responded with a video that gave us further information on this global phenomena of detainees. I mean, an interesting fact that I didn't know is that there are more people now that have been displaced than any point in history. More displaced people now in the world than any time since the Second World War. 51 million people. That's a whole Great Britain of people just wandering around. And it seems odd that the response to that in Australia and countries like Britain is to lock them up.
A Human Rights Commission inquiry is hearing evidence that children in camps are poisoning themselves.
Yeah, of course, that's Russell Brand, usually a comic, but I'll tell you, he's going into advocacy quite strongly. This is a point of shame for Australia. A New York Times article, as I said, came out this week, and this is a quote from it. Some European officials may be tempted to adopt the hardline approach Australia has used to stem a similar tide of immigrants. That would be unconscionable. Prime Minister Tony Abbott has overseen a ruthlessly effective effort to stop boats packed with migrants, many of them refugees, from reaching Australia's shores. His policies have been inhumane, of dubious legality, and strikingly at odds with the country's tradition of welcoming people fleeing from persecution and war. Since 2013, Australia has deployed its navy to turn back boats with migrants, including asylum seekers, before they could get close to its shores. Military personnel force vessels carrying people from Iraq, Afghanistan, Sudan, and Eritrea, and other conflict-riddled nations towards Indonesia, where most of the journeys begin. A boat captain recently reported the Australian authorities paid him $30,000 to turn back with men, women, and children on it. If true, that account, which the Australian government has not disputed, would represent a violation of international laws designed to prevent human smuggling and protect asylum seekers. The Border Force Act, which took place in July 1, makes it a crime punishable by 2 years in prison for employees at detention camps to even discuss the conditions there publicly. Australia and Nauru, which depends heavily on Australian foreign aid, have gone to great lengths to keep international journalists from gaining access to the detention centers, in which more than 2,200 people have been held since 2012. Last year, Nauru raised its fee it charges for journalists to go there from $200 to $8,000. Applicants who are turned down are not given refunds. Scores of people who have worked at the camp have become whistleblowers. More than 40, including medical personnel and social workers, wrote a public letter to senior officials in July saying that they would rather risk arrest than stay quiet. If we witness child abuse in Australia, we are legally obliged to report it to child protection authorities, they wrote. If we witness child abuse in detention centers, we can go to prison for attempting to advocate or report it. Now, European officials, according to the New York Times, have traveled to Australia on fact-finding missions because they view this as a really good fucking idea. All you dicks who say you're Christian, I may never stop throwing up. I saw Tony Abbott go to church once. He's our prime minister here. And I don't know what church he belongs to. And this is the same shit.
He's a staunch Catholic.
This is the same shit that's going on in America right now. They hate the immigrant kind of crap. And in its nutshell, it's not a laugh. This is barbarism. It's just simple barbarism.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's really pissed
off. All right, that's all right. This, just taking it back to Alien, the three-year-old on the beach. Now, Australia has had, like that article said, and like Russell Brand said, we've had a long, long, proud history of being a place where refugees from around the world could find a safe haven. And we've become such a rich, rich country from it. Some of the great Australians, Sir Gustav Nossel, and all these people were actually refugees from World War II.
Yeah.
We have the largest concentration camp survivors in Melbourne. Now, that little boy, if he had been brought here as they used to be brought here, could have grown up, gone to school, and lived a long and happy life. Now, each wave of refugees that have crashed ashore here, and you and I were, in essence, part of a wave, have added this energy or richness to the
amalgam. Yeah, but we're white, Randall. We don't drown.
Whoever.
We're white.
Whoever, Billy. Whoever came here, Greek, German, Italian, Vietnamese, Afghani, Chinese, Christians, Muslims, Jews, they're a rainbow of colors and religions and faiths. They're not all white. You and I are white. Yeah, that's fine. We're talking about we're talking about people here now, yes, who are Syrians, who are not all that far from Jesus Christ, who is not white as he's being made out by Ben Carson, but is in fact Palestinian. Now, the point is we've got room to spare here. Most countries have room to spare. You could drop 1 million people in Australia and you won't not find them. We should actually carve off little enclaves, have a little Kazakhstan and a little Syria, a little Iraq, you know, put in a deep bore and a wind farm and let them go on. New people are a resource. Our economy has always been boosted. We took 250,000 Vietnamese boat people in the 80s.
After the Vietnam War.
In the 80s. Long after the Vietnam War. Like, these are the boat people from Vietnam. We took 250,000 of them, which would have been a significant percentage of our population. And nobody complained?
No.
Nobody complained. And that's because that's more the Australian spirit.
Because we had
xenophobia.
We had Bob Hawke in office then.
Well, no, we had Malcolm Fraser, who was in fact an arch conservative. But Malcolm Fraser allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the early 80s.
Okay.
Now, we've got this weird kind of redneck American xenophobia disease that is, and we're saying, oh, we're stopping the boats because we don't want anybody to draw and see. And look at that poor boy. We're not going to have that here. We have it all the time. People are washing ashore everywhere. But it's out of sight, out of mind. It's on other countries. And that really makes me sick.
You know, and that's, you and I had the exact same reaction to this.
That poor little boy could have grown up here.
I know. You have 3 kids. I got 2.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can't feel any compassion for these people, I don't want to fucking know you.
I don't care.
I really don't want to fucking know you.
I don't care whether he was Syrian.
I don't care
what he was. He was a 3-year-old boy who was without sin.
That's
who
right.
Who was without religion.
Yeah.
Who was without any of that sort of stuff. He's a 3-year-old boy who died at sea, whether he paid people smugglers or whatever. This little boy could have had a life if people weren't being such bastards.
But they're people smugglers, look, the reason they sold everything they had to get where they are, and the reason why Syria's in the shithouse it is, by the way, that guy in Texas painting his fucking feet.
Mm.
ISIS, that's on him, man. And the reason this is happening is George W. Bush invaded the Middle East and started the fuck hell
really
that would happen.
I really don't care.
This is it. No, but what I'm saying is that if we start a war and we participate in it, we at very least have to take some responsibility for the people
No. It's not cause and effect. It's no blame game. These people.
There is a blame,
Randall.
Oh,
fuck. These people are displaced. They have to be taken in.
They're displaced because of a war.
No, stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Stop it.
Yes, stop it. These people have been displaced. They need to be placed. That's all.
Hmm.
Regardless of their religion, regardless of things. It's not George Bush. It's not Mao. It's not anybody. It's not Tony Abbott. There are over 1 million people who have lost their homes, who have lost everything, whether they had to pay people smugglers or whether they had to get into a leaky boat. It doesn't matter. That little boy is a martyr.
Hmm.
Well, whether he did it of course he didn't do it intentionally.
I think that you'll agree with me with one thing.
What?
That, I went to a march recently. I went to a meeting. I went to a march for asylum seekers here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to put on the website some get active groups in the United States and in Australia that deal with refugees. And I'm going to invite anyone to go to our site and go check it out.
America actually takes more refugees per capita than we do.
Yeah, I know. And that's
New Zealand and Australia are right down the bottom of the
toilet.
That
is absolutely right. And it's a point of absolute, because we always hold up Australia as this shining example of what America could
be. But for the last 2 years, we have been nothing.
And we've become that way because what we have elected is a neoconservative government that has based its game plan off of the neoconservatives in the United States.
Yeah, and they distract us with marriage equality and all the same things that we get distracted with, that they distract the Americans with.
Mm.
But these are actually people's lives. Gay people not getting married.
Yeah.
Yes, some of them, can't wait any longer and die of old age. But the point is these people are dying at 3 years old.
Yeah. So So
I don't want to be distracted by these people.
And
I want to find them a place to live.
Absolutely. And so I'm advocating that everybody get active here. And I know that Randy and I, we're going to be doing that here because God knows it has to be done here. But we need to get active on the fact that, and by the way, down the lane, if you look at climate change, in 20 years, if you think that the refugee crisis is bad now, you just wait 20 years when low-lying areas get flooded. You wait those, and this is going to look like a fucking tea party.
Yeah,
okay?
But we should give Kiribati a section of our coastline. We contributed to that.
Mm.
We should give them an equal size to come here and set up a new home.
At the very least.
We are 22 million people living in the sixth living in our own continent.
Living in an
island continent.
Yep, that's right.
We are 22 million people in greater L.A. living in an enormous place.
The
bigger
size
than
the continental
States.
United States, yes,
yeah,
right.
The South 40.
Yeah.
Now, if we can't put those people up here and somehow give them an opportunity. We've all moved to the cities. We've left cities to crumble in the bush. We can put them up there. We've got cities to spare and room to spare.
Yeah.
What happened to us? What happened to our soul?
Yeah.
Have we sold it?
I don't want,
people say, oh, would you take one group into your house? We lived next door to a couple from Vietnam, and we took them into our house.
You know Bob Geldof the other day?
Yeah.
I got to respect this man. He said, no, I'm taking six families into my palatial compound. I mean, that's good. Do you see Rupert Murdoch doing this? I don't really. You know, all I'm saying is that I'm not going to criticize anybody else. I'm going to get out and act. And if that means marching the streets, if that means sending leaflets, if that means donating them a small amount of money that I have, and we do have a small amount. We're not rich guys. We're sitting in my den. Okay? So basically, but I'm imploring all of you, let's get active. Let's do something. Let's look at that picture and actually act like Bernie tells us to.
Mm.
Get organized and act and force governments to be humane.
Yeah. Alian Kurdi is his name, 3 years old, must not die in vain.
Absolutely.
Everybody should say his name forever. He's the Anne Frank of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Okay. Anne Frank of the 21st century is named Alan Curdy.
And
he's 3 years old.
Yeah.
We don't know a lot about him before that. He was going to possibly go to Canada.
Hmm.
But his mother and older brother, who was 5 years old, drowned.
They had an interview with the father.
Yeah.
And it was just...
gut-wrenching.
It was shocking.
Yeah. Whether you're a parent or not, whether you're a grown-up or a child or an old third-age person like myself, you cannot help but be moved by that. Now, people said, oh, God, it just doesn't matter. He's foreign. He's a Muslim. I don't think so. Most of the Syrians that have left are actually Christian, and ISIS has sworn to kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they are risking their lives staying, and they're risking their lives going. Now, we've got a clip from, I think it's USA Today, talking on the morning that young Alia Curdy's body was found. Let's have a listen to that.
This harrowing image of a small child face down on a Turkish beach, lifeless, has become a symbol of the plight of migrants trying to reach Europe. I'm Shannon Ray Green, here with USA Today World reporter Kim Helmgard, joining us via Skype. Kim, you've been covering this story. This image has galvanized attention to this humanitarian crisis in Syria as refugees try to reach Europe. What can you tell us about your reporting and finding out how this image has spread?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just reading the account from the photographer who took the image, and the image was taken at 6 a.m. and she happened to be on this beach because she knew it was a spot where a lot of migrants or refugees are trying to get from this Turkish resort town over to Greece across this strait. The photographer felt that she had to do her journalistic duty, and she managed to capture the image, which subsequently circled around the globe and has really, I think, kind of touched people in a way, or enabled them to relate to this crisis in a way that all the statistics, all the numbers, all the politicians talking, you know, all the kind of abstractions about this crisis has not.
And now we know more about the subject of the image. Can you tell us more about what might have been for them and the circumstances surrounding what happened to them?
We understand that this family, with other Syrians as well, were in an inflatable raft of some kind that flipped over. The mother, who's in her mid-30s, and also perished, and the father survived. The family had tried to seek asylum in Canada and had been refused.
Kim, this terrible story is just one out of many. Hundreds of thousands of people are fleeing conflict in Syria right now, and it's become more of a crisis for the EU because so many people are trying to get there. Tell us more about this overall crisis. Back up and explain it for our viewers.
The fact of the matter is that it's a scale of migration for different reasons. Some to do with conflict, some to do with economic hardship, some to do with people, you know, being persecuted for all sorts of different reasons to do with perhaps their professions or their religions, you know, in the Middle East and Africa and even parts of Asia. And it's on a scale, really, that Europe hasn't seen, some people are arguing, since the end of World War II, when there was a lot of displaced peoples.
Kim, thanks so much for your insight in reporting out this story. Keep following this story and Kim's reporting on usatoday.com.
Yeah, I think this has been a hard one for Bill and I to end on. I hope you don't mind. We've gone over a little bit. We thought we'd end on a sort of a more hopeful note. But I hope that if this is the largest influx of displaced people since World War II, that our response is as large as it was at the end of World War II, where we sent entire ocean liners to Italy, Israel, the Middle East, Britain, France, the Netherlands, and we brought back hundreds of thousands of people here to Australia.
I'd like to actually kind of remind people of something that that should be near and dear to America's hearts. This is called the New Colossus. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand
a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she, with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the dedication of the Statue of Liberty. You know, and people going to Ellis Island would have seen that.
Mm.
Amazing words. And do they ring true for you today, ladies and gentlemen, of both Australia and the United States? So they should.
Right.
Thank you, Willie.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for sticking with us. We're not going to go out with any of our
normal stuff.
Yeah, we're just going to go out on a really nice note. Something I picked, I sang once in a show about Vietnam, and I think it actually applies now. So have a listen.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye-bye.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.